Coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse, the Reedy Creek Improvement District has been taken over. The earnings call that Disney had with Bob Iger, that's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome everyone to another episode of Traveling with the Mouse. I'm your host this week. My name is John. I am joined today by Adam.
Boo. What's up, everybody?
Yes, it looks like today we're going to be doing the original duo type deal today.
The dynamic duo.
Yeah. Jason doesn't look like will be with us tonight, but we hope he will be soon. He's actually been, to do a little bit of travel for work, so he's probably experiencing a little bit of tiredness and having to get up early following it, so it probably wasn't ideal for rest. We'll just put it that way, right?
Yes. He was traveling. Was he traveling with the mouse, though?
Yes, he was. I don't know if he had a mouse with him or not. He didn't say.
But he was traveling.
But where he was traveling, there was no talking mice, not to my knowledge.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No giant ones. So here we are, just the original duo.
Yeah.
Adam, what kind of week have you had? I mean, I feel like I've just spoken to you just a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Well, as we're recording this, it has only been a few days.
Yeah. Almost as many days as it normally would be, though. Almost.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, but yes. In the world of Disney, a lot of news has broken since our last episode, so
that's correct. It's
a lot to talk about. Not all good.
Well, I mean, you know, perspective, we'll try to see the glass half full or half empty. It depends on your point of view sometimes.
Look through the glass onion.
Looking through a glass. Yeah, I was just talking about how one of the things I've watched on Disney Plus was Get Back, which has been, almost 2 years coming up, or a year and a half maybe, since it's been on there. Well, it was in 21. I don't remember what part of 21.
It was like November, wasn't it? Or something.
Maybe it was November. So it's only been a little over a year since that was in there. But I didn't watch it back then, and I just started watching it recently.
Oh, that's great.
And I just got into the mood for watching for stuff involving the Beatles. So there's the Disney connection with that, but... Right. No, I actually, over Christmas, did get a record player, like a new one.
Vinyl.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about vinyl. I don't know. It's just cool having it, I guess. I just like the idea of having a vinyl collection, so I'm hopefully going to add to it.
It's back in style, for sure.
See, I could see it in my case being one of those things where I get, like, certain albums that I thought were really good from my past, I guess, that I would just get those, pretty much. It's not like I would just buy everything, by any means. I would definitely get... a little expensive, but like I'd have to be like choice selections, I guess, that I wanted to have on vinyl is what I'll probably go for. That was a little bit off of Disney news. Like I said, the only connection I can make was Disney Plus. But
well, I can make a connection is I have a bunch of old Disney vinyls that we used to have when we were kids.
Oh yes, and I probably have those somewhere too. Haven't you?
Yeah, I remember we used to have the Country Bear Jamboree on a vinyl, I feel like.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure it's still around somewhere.
Yeah, because I guess it was short enough to fit on a vinyl, like, easily.
Yeah, it was the entire original show. Yeah, it was. Well, I say original, I don't think it was the Pepsi Cola plug version. Because, in the very early on, they actually had that in there.
Yeah.
So, let's start a tad bit with just some quick, maybe positive things.
Okay.
I noticed when I was watching some videos online how Splash Mountain, the project to turn it into Tiana's Bayou Adventure, seems to be moving along rather quickly. I mean, there's a lot more stuff up, and you see, like, people at the top of the... I noticed there was a video that showed people at the top of the, like, the drop or whatever. There's, like, this almost like a mesh, I guess, kind of wall that they have up there that you can kind of see through, but you can see workers on the other side of it. So they're trying to cover up some of what they're doing. You know, I guess they figured somebody in the right angle with a long lens or something could probably see more than they should.
Like, so they're trying to block it. Yeah. Thing that they're trying to cover up.
So yeah, things are taking shape there.
I noticed a lot of people posting that because you can see that they're cutting back a lot of where the drop is, like, cutting back a lot of the rock work back there. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what they're going to do. Are they just going to redo it? I wonder, too, because when Splash was having a lot of issues with the drop, it seemed like, I wonder if they're trying to fix some of the problems it was having. Because it seemed like they were working on that spot a lot right after the big drop. I don't know. Maybe. So, yeah. But anyway, they're doing some work there now, too.
Yeah, they probably have. I mean, there's a lot that's going to have to be done as far as the, I guess, the animatronics element of the ride, just because a lot of the stuff was older and it didn't function as good as it once did. That's part of it. And things had also evolved since that was a lot of that stuff was originally put out. So there's going to be a lot of work done inside there. So, you know, people kind of talked about how quickly, you know, it started and everything. Yeah, well, you know, they do this with pretty much every ride. They do this too. I mean, it's still going to take a while. So,
and is the crane still there? Because I know there was a crane there for a while.
I saw. I mean, I think so. There's like some people that are apparently going there just about every day just to video it. It's like they're trying to put a timeline together of from the moment it closed to the moment that Tiana's opens now. It's crazy.
So. Isn't it interesting how when we were growing up, we would hear about things mainly from Disney, like they controlled a lot of the narrative of, you know, what's coming and what the progress of whatever is. But nowadays, you literally can see every detail of everything they're doing just about even behind the walls.
I'll give you an example of something like when Test Track was being advertised, right? Mm-hmm. They were advertising Test Track about what it would do and all this good stuff. Never once in that did I get in their public advertisements anyway that they were converting World of Motion to Test Track.
Oh, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of stuff that they could hide back then. Like, you would never hear, oh, we're closing an attraction to make way for this attraction. You're just like, well, we have this new attraction. And then you like find out, oh, it's replacing this type deal. Like they used to get away with that and do that sort of thing.
Right.
So,
and yeah, I guess especially because the people who went every year, every couple of years, you know, you just show up and you're like, oh, that's different. Or, that's new.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
they've cool. changed this.
Right. Versus like now you show it's up, like,
right. It's like everything. You just show up and the Bears are now they're doing the Vacation Hoedown instead of the Country Bears. Jamboree.
Right.
So
if they move a plant, like it's talked about on online.
As Josh Tomorrow said.
Exactly. I mean, he's right. I mean, somewhat. In that regard.
Yeah, somewhat. Well, like I say, let's do some of the smaller stuff here too. Yeah. Full housekeeping services are returning to Disney World this month, apparently. So, I mean, that's kind of good. I don't know. I don't know that I really noticed a ton of difference, but I mean, other than obviously you could tell people weren't in your room every day.
Right. Does that mean they're going to do daily?
Automatically, right? That's what it makes it sound like.
Because I thought they were going to get away from that in general. Where
well, a lot of other places have too. Like they felt like they followed suit. Maybe they're just trying to go back to the way things were there. I don't really know.
Maybe just like deluxe hotels are going to do daily.
Apparently, it had to do with listening to the fans once again in this case. But it says, we've heard from many of you about how much you love and have missed the more regular housekeeping services that they offered prior to the pandemic, and are excited to share that we've been ramping them back up across Walt Disney World Resort hotels by the end of February. Full housekeeping room cleanings will once again be available at all of our resort hotel rooms, with services provided daily or every other day, depending on where you are staying. Mm, so that makes a difference. I bet the daily ones are probably going to be deluxe.
Deluxe, yeah.
If I had to guess.
And values, moderates are probably every other day.
Right.
That makes sense. Honestly, I don't think I need daily housekeeping, to be honest.
Well, what they really should do is maybe at the beginning of your stay, like some people may not need it every day. They might just have, like, make it an option, I guess, that you, as part of your, you know, you ask us to choose everything else in advance. why not? Why not just make this small little thing a request in advance as well? So,
right. Pre-COVID, I remember a couple of stays, they would say, oh, if you opt out of daily housekeeping, we'd give you a $10 gift card or something.
Right. Like early on, they rewarded you for
something like that.
Taking this huge sacrifice of not getting your room done every day.
And now that hotels have done that, like pretty much every hotel is either every other day or every third day or something like that. It's like, why did we ever need daily housekeeping? Like I never,
that's the way I feel. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really want somebody making the bed up every day or you know, changing out the towels every single day. It's like, I don't do that at home. I don't wash my towels every day. So what's the
Well, I can't say that necessarily around here. We almost do.
Well, certainly we wash clothes every day because that's what happens with kids. But I don't know. I'm just saying, why did we think that was a thing every, like, why was that
necessary?
Yeah. Every single day up until like the pandemic.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But anyway, because I just had a recent stay in Graceland, right? So we stayed at a Hilton. And pretty much for just the two nights, we didn't have any full. All we ever did was get towels.
Right.
And what else was it? Towels and what?
Washcloths, towels, extra soap, shampoo, stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, there was maybe coffee. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I don't mind calling and saying, hey, you know, bring me some extra coffee or bring me some more.
Or just grab it while you're in the lobby.
Yeah, whatever.
On the way back.
That doesn't bother me.
I've done that.
But I guess some people, it's like it should be there every day. I guess if you're paying a certain amount, like you expect like that.
It's probably where that originated from. Yeah. You know?
And I guess so. Slowly over time, people stripped out the benefits and the prices still kept going up, which is kind of what's happened everywhere. But, you know, is what it is. All right.
So one of the bigger stories that's taken place is the Reedy Creek Development District, the bill.
Oh, yeah.
Has passed House and Senate in the state of Florida. And so last I checked, it's at DeSantis' desk, which I don't think he'll have any problem signing it.
Yeah, he's definitely going to do it.
So I really, I don't know, when I look at this situation, I guess I'd have to see the overall.
Yeah.
I don't think it seems as bad as he originally made it out to be, I think, because he started out as kind of like this, I guess, battle, and it probably didn't help with the CEO of the Times response to everything.
Chapek?
Yeah, that guy. I kind of want to just skip to the Disney World president, Jeff, is it Val? I don't know how you say his name,
Jeff Val. Yeah.
I don't know if it's Valley or Val. Has issued a statement following the introduction of the bill. So, you know, he said Disney's monitoring the progression of the draft legislation at that point in time.
Yeah, he was saying ready to work with them.
Yeah, Disney remains committed to providing the highest quality experience for the millions of guests who visit each year. That was essentially what Jeff said.
Yeah, which is typical kind of PR statement. I mean, he's not going to muddy the waters any more than it's already been muddied previously. So they're just at this point, like, bending over and taking it.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's been some probably work done behind the scenes, truthfully. You know, I feel like ever since Chapek's left, there's probably, I don't know if it was necessarily Iger. It may have been. It may have just been some other representative with Disney that has met with DeSantis or a member of DeSantis's team and maybe discussed, you know, what can we do with this or do there, right? I don't know. I guess if any of that took place, it hasn't been brought to fruition yet where we know exactly what took place, so.
Well, we know that the name is going to change to the Central Florida Tourism Oversight Board.
Right.
Doesn't have the same ring as Reedy Creek District.
Right. So, yeah. You just mentioned the name. Board of Supervisors to consist of 5 members that will also be picked by the Florida governor and confirmed by the Senate, which that shouldn't be any issue. Yeah. It's just along the same as the bill.
Right.
Board members cannot have worked for a theme park or entertainment complex in the past 3 years.
Right. Okay.
So, they must be Florida residents. The Reedy Creek Improvement District can keep the name for 2 years to continue to do business. The Reedy Creek Improvement District will not be dissolved on June 1st, 2023. It will continue under the new name and the new rules. Some of the good parts are going to stay.
Right. Their debt won't go to the Florida taxpayers of Osceola County.
Because it says all debts and obligations continue to be valid and binding.
Right. That was the big thing early on that people were concerned with. It's like, oh, well, they got to turn that debt over now to the state.
And see, I think if you're DeSantis, that's brilliant because that was the biggest point that the residents brought up. And so if you just squash that, you pretty much can do the other part, right? I mean, I'm just saying, I say brilliant from a political standpoint. I'm not trying to say that as praise or anything, but yeah. I'm just saying brilliant from a political standpoint. It is not expected that Walt Disney World will pay more in taxes and existing bonds will be honored. So the only thing about this, I guess, as far as the future goes, I don't care where you are or what it is. Anytime the government has more control over it, it could mean bad news at some point for you. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I would say, you know, the fact that these board of these five supervisors are going to be handpicked by the governor, I think that would be the one. So Disney had their own board before, you know, from Reedy Creek residents, so to speak, which basically is, you know, they basically handpick people. So now it's going to be handpicked by the governor. So that kind of makes you think he's doing that as a way to keep Disney in check, so to speak.
Yeah, I think in his mind that Disney just had too much power when it came to that sort of thing because they had their own board. And I think in his mind, he's thinking that having an outside source kind of be the...
Let's just be honest. This is an FU to Chapek and to Disney for doing what they did. And he's just trying to win political points, and he did. And I mean, that's what he's doing. And so now he's using this to kind of keep sticking it to Disney even further. Because what's Disney going to do? They're not going to leave Florida. They're not going to, they can't do anything about it. So it's like,
I mean, obviously he acknowledges the amount of money that Disney brings to the state, but he's essentially said, I'm not just going to, just because you make us a lot of money, that doesn't mean I want you to do it unchecked, is the way I gathered it. But
yeah, that's the way to say it in public without saying F you, because you know, you're woke, blah, blah, blah stuff. Like that's what he's going after.
So
it is what it is. Disney's going to have to live with it, looks like, and that's kind of all they can do. And they don't want to make it worse, right? Obviously, right now, they're just going to see how this pans out, live with it, and then see what they can do with it.
You can say it's political left versus right type stuff, but I don't care. Even if the entire state of Florida flipped, this is going to stay in place. There's no one intends on giving this up once it's there. I guarantee you. Reedy Creek Improvement District will never once again return to the state that it was before.
Yeah.
So
not anymore. And it makes you wonder, too, thinking about if Epcot had actually been built the way Walt originally intended, it probably would have run into this situation at some point, too, right? And then it would have been dissolved. And so it just further kind of cements in my mind that Epcot wouldn't have worked even if Walt had started it.
Utopia doesn't work.
Yeah, he couldn't live forever, which he obviously didn't even see this beginning.
I don't know. I mean, there's rumors about his head.
Sure. But I just think, you said Utopia can't be produced, and you know, these kind of things, the things that they needed and got for 55 years or whatever it was roughly, you know, they can't sustain forever. And so Epcot is the idea wouldn't have worked. So it's best that it played out the way it did, because it kind of would have flopped at some point. And
I mean, as we saw even in the Matrix, right? They tried Utopian as far as a Matrix goes, and it didn't work, right?
It just can't happen, right? Humans are flawed,
right?
And so it's just, there's nothing we can do about that.
So there you go.
Anyway, just throwing that out there as a,
Epcot
just couldn't have worked.
How'd we get to Epcot?
Because the Reedy Creek Improvement District was built so that they could build Epcot. The original intention.
There was the original intention. You're right.
I don't think it would have worked for a number of reasons, but, you know.
Like I said, doing the glass half full side of this, though, it looks as though they're going to be able to continue to operate.
Yeah.
The debt's not going anywhere as far as that stuff goes. I feel like they're going to still get the good service that they've had out of, say, the local fire department for that area and stuff like that. I don't think that's going to change because of this, at least not immediately, because, never mind. I'm going to get on the thing about what happens when governments run things. But anyway.
Right. We'll see. I mean, Disney obviously did a good job of managing this themselves. Like, Disney property was run very smoothly. Everything was good. Yeah. You know, there was no, in my experience on Disney property, the infrastructure was great. So,
right. So going along with this, let's get into the really big stuff, I guess, the shareholders meeting.
Oh boy, yes.
Shareholders meeting. It was the
Q1 earnings call.
Q1 earnings call. That's what fiscal I was trying to say. Thank you.
2023 Q1 earning, which was basically the last 3 months of 2022.
Yes. And leading into that, though, I don't know if we should read into this or not. Josh Damaro joins the board of directors for Make-A-Wish. Does that bear any significance?
I don't know.
I haven't decided yet.
I think it's a good thing. Like he's you know, that's a Florida-based organization. Mm-hmm. He was seen, and where was he seen recently? Iger was at Disney World recently too. So they're frequently there, which is, you know, something Chapek never did. So it's nice to see the
to see that they're there. I mean, did Chapek do it when he was head of Parks and Rec? Though Parks and Rec.
In Pawnee when he was there. That was his previous job before Disney. I never saw much about Chapek going to the parks at all. Like, only if there was something opening. That was the only time he was ever there.
Yeah. I see. Well, I don't know if this will have changed by the time this episode is released, but Disney World and Cast Member Union has set a date to resume negotiations on pay raise.
Isn't that like next week or this week as you're listening to this? Isn't that? I feel like I saw the date, Nick. It's soon. I forgot.
Yeah, it's soon. Let's just put it that way. So the answer to that is that the Iger announces 7,000 layoffs.
Yeah.
However, I mean, there's going to be a lot of companies laying off.
Yep. This is kind of in line with what a lot of companies are doing right now.
Yeah. I know that to some people, the reasoning for doing that doesn't necessarily make sense to them. Why would you lay people off when
you're having trouble hiring too? Like,
on top of all that, it's like, why would you do this? Like, you're having trouble getting quality employees anyway. Why would you lay things off? It's because, honestly, every company is about a bottom line these days, especially, and doing anything to stay on top of that. That's the best way I know to explain it. It's more complicated than that, but I mean, that's the short of it, as it has to do with keeping the heads above water, so to speak. Interestingly enough, I know, you know, Disney has paused dividends on their stock investments. They did that in 2020, in 2020. But I've seen stories that indicate that they are set to resume those at the end of the year, which is kind of interesting to me, because the whole reason they gave for pausing them in the first place was that they were going to reinvest that money into the parks or into the product. I just find it hard to believe that whatever difference they made up there, they're already ready, willing to go back with. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Now, I did see something about the layoffs are not going to be
as much frontline as you would think.
Right, frontline cast member types. But I mean, Disney, if I remember hearing this right, has about 230,000 employees or something like that worldwide, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And so the cuts are probably going to come from all over. So I don't think we'll see a whole lot of difference at, say, Disney World, Disneyland. I'm sure there'll be some cuts for, you know, the parks and resorts and how they're run. But I don't think it's going to be so significant that we're going to see a huge decrease in service or whatever.
Yeah, I had seen some people, I'm not going to name any names, on Twitter and social media kind of be, I guess, dramatic and drastic, thinking that the cuts were going to, saying that they couldn't afford to make these cuts or some crap like that. And like thinking, it's like, you don't realize how big the company really is. You have no idea what you're talking about when it comes to running an actual business. You just need to sit down.
But so, what, Disney World has 70,000 employees or something like that? I forgot how many. Disney World is the biggest, I think, of all.
Like, that's not a lot of people, right? In comparison to who they employ is what we're getting at. I'm not trying to downplay anyone losing their job by any means. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying, in the big picture, when you look at the numbers, that is a significantly, that's a pretty small number in comparison to who all they employ.
I mean, when you hear the number 7,000, it's like, oh, that's a lot of people.
Right.
You know, it's a small number in total, but it's still significant in the sense of, you know, still 7,000 people. So.
Right.
But it's not all going to come from one place. So there's people all over that it's going to affect. So, I mean, it's the way, I mean, most businesses are doing that right now. They're preparing for, you know, a potential recession or things going downward at some point this year. So I get that. I kind of felt like it was coming because so many other companies are doing the same thing, tightening the belt a little bit.
Well, it's a form of a reset in a way when things like this happen.
But on the other hand, I mean, this is the thing that it's hard to, when you're talking about layoffs, yet they've made $8.7 billion in revenue. You know, it's like,
well, that was Parks did.
Right. The park, right. The Parks. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But yet, I guess the other thing I was leading to was the, which I guess you're about to talk about, is the, they're cutting the Parks investments. What is it?
Well, okay, so let's just kind of cover the whole thing. The Parks and the Parks Experience and Products revenues for the quarter increased 21% to the $8.7 billion that you said. Right. Income increased 25% to $3.1 billion.
That's big. Those are big numbers.
Right. Higher operating results for the quarter reflected increases, the usual stuff, right?
Yep.
It says operation income growth in our domestic parks and experiences was due to higher volumes and increased guest spending, partially offset by cost inflation. Higher operations supports costs and increased costs for new guest offerings. Higher volumes were attributable to increases in passenger cruise days, attendance, and occupied room nights. Guest spending growth was due to an increase in average per capita ticket revenue driven by Genie Plus and Lightning Lane, which were introduced in the prior year quarter. So they do acknowledge that.
I mean, that's all Chapek, yes.
I mean, it's not going away.
Right.
I don't care who you bring in. I don't care what summoning hero you think you're going to bring in. That's not going away.
Right. Rolling back big things like that are not, they're not going to do that.
Right. Okay. So as we just mentioned, the Disney World and Disneyland attendance continues to grow. However, Disney is to reduce capital expenditure investments in theme parks by $700 million. In 2023.
That's a lot.
Christine McCarthy provided the update. You know, previously Disney said they would spend $6.7 billion on capital expenditure projects. I think probably environment, economic environment probably has made them alter those plans somewhat. This is basically her comments. It says, we also continue to invest in our parks and experiences globally and in other capital projects across the enterprise and expect that fiscal 2023 capital expenditures will total approximately $6 billion. This is lower than our prior guide of $6.7 billion. So not a huge, I guess, decrease at this, the $700 million, as we said.
I mean, when you're talking about number, $6 billion still going into the parks, I mean, I don't know what all this means in terms of, is that just operating costs, you know, all the maintenance things and whatever.
I mean,
how much of that is new stuff? I don't know.
It's another trimming the fat type deal, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they're still investing. It's just they're not investing like.
Right. I mean, when you read the story and it says they're cutting it by $700 million. Well, they were going to do $6 billion. $6.7 billion. Now we're just doing $6
billion. Right.
I mean,
that's still, $700 million is significant in the sense of.
But for what they were going to do is still just trimming fat.
Right. But I wonder, out of that $700 million, say, like, the projects that are still undergoing, like the Epcot and Tiana's Bayou Adventure, for example, are they going to start cutting budgets for some of the things for that? And we're going to have scaled back version of what it was supposed to be, and now they're going to do some trimming on it, and the usual stuff where it's like, oh, we're getting all this stuff, and then it's like, oh, they start pulling things out. Hopefully not, but.
Right. Anyway. So another of the things on the call that he was asked about, basically Iger said, well, I mean, I guess he was asked about the demand at the theme parks. Okay. And if attendance.
Yeah. This comment was interesting to me.
He says, I'm very, very bullish on the
bullish.
Theme parks. Yeah. Bullish. He uses an investor's term.
Right.
On the theme parks, and not just because of the COVID recovery. Iger said that demand on the theme parks is extraordinary right now. And when thinking about how Disney can profit from that demand, Iger said that they could increase park capacity or even increase prices, but that we don't think either would be smart.
Correct.
Instead, which
is not good long-term strategy. Right. Thankfully, somebody who's got a brain
talked about expanding the theme parks, which would expand capacity without reducing the guest experience or overcrowding.
Yes, that's what needs to happen.
He noted that expansions like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and Pandora, the world of Avatar, are great ways to grow the theme park's business.
I love how he's talking about stuff that happened while he was there, not anything.
Yeah, I know, but when we look back now, though, as we've mentioned before, just how successful were these expansions?
Well, they cut a lot out of them. I mean, they trimmed back the budgets on those too. Galaxy's Edge is like...
But as my comment's been made earlier about Hollywood Studios and how crowded it is, and he's saying that these expansions are to help with that, I don't think that's what's happened at Hollywood Studios.
Well, so, I mean,
just saying,
it definitely increased attendance at all the parks,
but not by the amount of the what it was they were putting there was going to attract attendance.
Well, yeah, I mean, Animal Kingdom certainly increased attendance after Avatar opened, or Pandora, and Hollywood Studios increased attendance after Galaxy's Edge. I think that's more what he's talking about. It doesn't make the experience better, but more people are going to show up.
Well, see, that's exactly what he said, though, there. He said, expand capacity without reducing the guest experience from overcrowding. None of those things.
No, that did not happen.
Overcrowding.
Yeah, that did not happen.
This is what I'm saying. None of those things accomplish that. Especially if you think about the amount of space you can actually walk in Pandora. Right. I mean.
But in theory, Tron is going to increase Magic Kingdom's capacity by a decent amount because there's a lot more room in there.
You're talking about ride capacity?
Well, that and, you know, just foot traffic. Like, there's going to be a lot of people going back there. And it's a pretty decent size area for people to go back to. And now you have the path connecting Tomorrowland to Storybook Circus again. So you've got a little bit more room in the park.
In my mind, though, it just concentrates people to the new thing. If you make an e-ticket every single time.
Right.
Maybe think about making a non-e-ticket attraction in these places every once in a while. That way you attract just enough people to that area that it actually does spread things out.
I would argue that Ratatouille is that way at Epcot. It increased Epcot's capacity because you've got a decent size
capacity. You increase the park that already had the biggest space you can move
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Right. But it did increase Epcot's capacity. You've got this new area and a new ride that holds a decent amount of people and a lot of people in line. You've got a new crepery place, which isn't that big, but it holds a little bit of people. And so, you know, that definitely expanded. I think that's more maybe what you're talking about is something that's it's going to expand capacity without like overcrowding because it's a new ride that everybody wants to do.
Right, right. I don't know. I mean, like, even when I think about something like, say, Rise of the Resistance, it's a great experience. The amount of time it takes to do it versus how they spaced everything out still wasn't enough to reduce the wait time very much. I think the wait time is right. Even now, I mean, yes, it's still popular, but the wait time has more to do with efficiency.
Right. So do you think the bullish comment means that even though they're cutting 700 million from the budget or whatever from the investments that he wants to be more aggressive with the theme parks? Like he wants,
I guess,
to like,
I think it's probably going to focus more on, I don't know,
expanding. I don't know. I mean,
they don't have a ton.
Those comments kind of contradict themselves is what I'm saying. Like,
they don't have a ton on the drawing board. That's known about, we'll put it that way. This more than blue sky, as we said.
Right. There's nothing set in stone that's like, this is coming, other than Tiana's Bayou Adventure,
right?
Which, you know, will be the headliner of 2024. But beyond that, what do they have that they could open in 2025? If they started on something today, could they even have anything ready by 2025?
It's a maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a maybe at best.
Doesn't sound like much is possible to, unless they get going on it quick.
It sounds like something like Dinosaur is like doomed to be mediocre until it's changed. Right. Just saying. I've watched a ride video of recently of it. Did I mention this already? I don't feel like I did. Maybe I just intended to. I watched an on-ride of Dinosaur recently, right? It was taken recently.
Yep.
And like nothing worked. when they were going through there. Literally nothing worked.
Did the dinosaurs eat the tourists? Sorry.
No. But, I mean, like, at the beginning, what I was looking at, like, you know that dinosaur at the very beginning that's, like, eating that other little dinosaur or whatever? Right. Yeah, he was just, like, frozen in a position that was, like straight. He wasn't even sitting in his normal position. He was looking up in the air, and the dinosaur was hanging out of his mouth or whatever. He wasn't even moving when they first went out there. I don't think the running version of the Carnosaurus has worked in years.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? That scene where he runs beside you pretty much. It's like, I don't think that scene's worked in years.
Nope.
One near the end where he's supposed to be so fierce and everything, his motions are just like, he's like a grandma dinosaur now or something. Like he barely moves. Yeah. He does move some, but I think it's because I think age and some other things, you know, the animatronics themselves sometimes don't tend to be as fluid as they once were, right?
Right.
And dinosaurs suffering from that right now, similar to what Splash was. I mean, dinosaurs, what?
Yeah.
It's not 30 years, but it's 20. It's over 20.
Five almost.
It's over 20.
Getting close. Yeah. It's like, you know, Indiana Jones is at Disneyland. People were complaining so much about that until they finally took it down for hopefully a extensive refurb. I mean, maybe people just need to complain enough, but I don't know if it's a big enough attraction for Disney to take notice of and be like, yeah, let's fix this. I mean, maybe the WWNT needs to, because they complained about the small world boats and immediately they fixed those. And then they complained about Space Mountain being dirty, which it was filthy. Mm-hmm. And now they're painting and pressure washing Space Mountain. So like they need to get on some of these other issues and maybe Disney will take note. Otherwise they probably won't, like, not going to care.
Possibly.
Maintenance is a problem right now. And we will be right back.
Calling all parents. Meet the Family Cash Card, Greenlight's newest credit card for parents. You can earn up to 3% cash back on every dollar spent. No limits, no categories, no hassle. No kidding. You can choose to auto-invest your cash back to pay for your kid's college, apply it to your balance, or send your cash back straight to your wallet. It's basically cash back your way every day. Get started today at greenlight.com.
And now back to the show. Well, speaking of movies, though, is that what you were going to mention is the sequels that Bob Iger announced?
Yeah.
So that was something I wasn't expecting to hear, that we're getting a Zootopia 2, a Frozen 3, and a Toy Story 5.
Not that shocking when you look at it, though, overall. But
it makes sense. Like, I think Bob's like, hey, what's worked in the past and what's our best franchises? Let's throw sequels at
it. No. Yeah, I was going to say, Let's see what is it we can do that we know until is going to make money, whether it's good or not.
Right.
Let's do sequels.
I mean, in a way that's smart in the short term to like, let's throw maybe stuff at them to, you know.
Here's the problem. When you do stuff like that, you basically are insulting your audience that you're dumb, that you're going to spend money on anything that we know that we rehash. Because you actually risk people thinking this. Or, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one. Because I can't think of any one of these that I'm going to go to a theater and pay money to see. I'm still just going to wait until it's available to stream or whatever.
I mean, I would consider watching all three of these.
Based on the recent Toy Story sequels, are you really that eager for a 5?
Not really. I mean, Toy Story 4 was not great. I wasn't a big fan. That one.
And my argument with Frozen, I mean, I guess I'm being the devil's advocate here on the list. My argument with Frozen is, where do you go with the story?
That's a great question. I have no idea. I loved Frozen 2, though. I thought it was great. And Zootopia deserved a good sequel. I thought it was great, so.
Zootopia I can see because it doesn't have a 2 yet, so they could they have potential to further that story. That one's okay.
Right, I felt like that one was like, it needed a sequel. Gosh, how long ago did that come out?
I mean, I guess I'm just in the camp now of, there's way too many sequels out there. They only do it because they know it's a cash cow. It has nothing to do with creativity.
The movie side needs to
yeah
get better, like, well, make more money. It's not that they're not.
But with sequels, even if they're bad, they're going to make money initially because people are going to pay to see it initially, even yeah. if it's not good.
Right.
It's going to make some kind of money.
Like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull did. We'll see if...
The amount of money it made in the theater is not an indicator of the quality of movie that it is.
No. Yeah, there's a lot of movies like that yeah. these days.
I've been seeing, I guess I just saw a headline that suggested that how expensive Indiana Jones is going to be when it's all said and done.
Because of the reshoots they keep saying.
I don't know if it's just that, stuff, but I mean, yeah. it's supposed to be a pretty expensive movie in general. I hope it pays off. I really do. I'm optimistic. I hope it pays off.
I don't know.
See, that's an example of one, though. See, that's different. To me, I don't know. I can't explain it. Something like Indiana Jones is different. I don't just feel like you're giving me a movie just for the sake of a sequel. I feel like whenever these were started, they were intended to be a series of movies. Does that make sense? Like Harry Potter, for instance, it's obviously a series of novels, so it's intended right. to be a series of movies.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, hey, we can do another Toy Story. Or I don't know if it came about that way, but it feels that way.
You know, in thinking about it, I wish they had made another Indiana Jones in the 90s, but it was, when you think about the timeline, mm-hmm. once they finished Last Crusade, I think they did like a Indiana Jones, what was it, the Chronicles of Young Indiana Jones or whatever it was. And then George Lucas focused his attention back on Star Wars,
yeah.
you know, the 20th anniversary, and then getting back to the prequels, starting on those, and then, you know, that was the next 10 years until those came out. And then Crystal Skull came out 3 years later. So it's like, I just wish they could have squeezed another indie movie in there in the right before the prequels, maybe. I feel like it would have been better.
You know, it's almost like early on, Lucas set the standard industry for a trilogy to be the... Like, everybody seemed like yeah. they followed after that when they built something. It was like three films is the what you did.
Well, they were so successful. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, if you can get the first one off the ground, then you can get the other two easily after that.
But then they got into the habit of doing, like, with The Matrix, like, we had a successful first film. We're going to film the other two simultaneously.
Yeah. And then Pirates started.
And that didn't work out as yeah. well either, in either of those cases. Not as well. I still enjoyed those films, and, you know, a lot of people didn't, but...
Yeah. What was it? Dead Man's Chest was pretty good, but then at World's End, I thought just sort of...
Was not as good, right?
Weird. The whole... It just got off the deep end.
Where it kind of derailed for me was just the fact that Jack died in the second one.
Right, yeah.
And then he comes back, because I'm like...
And yeah, he ends up in
I don't know,
weird
I didn't,
limbo it, world
it,
or whatever.
Right, yeah. It just became a little too odd.
Yeah, it was weird. So, and then you yeah. bring Barbossa back, and then it becomes like Star Wars where nobody ever dies. Like, you can bring anybody back, and someone's cut in half. Like, no, they still live, you know.
They still live, right, yeah.
Just Torso Boy, like
yeah,
like, Darth Maul.
No one's ever really gone.
Right, you can always bring somebody back. Yeah.
And then how Luke said it, we're never really gone. That's what
we're
he meant.
We're always here, right, basically. Whatever. Anyway.
Fine. Yeah, where was I going next? I don't remember now.
We're way off topic.
No, but talking about... No, I was talking movies. About the films was part of it. You know, that
right.
was part of it.
Because I don't think the movies... I forgot now. The movies didn't make as much... Like, the theme parks, I think, had the biggest profit margin. I don't think movies... And there was something else that came out of this. I know we're all over the place, but the fact that he was Didn't Bob Iger say they're restructuring to say...
Yes.
You know, like, theme parks, experience, and products is one... what was the other one? Movies or entertainment, I think, is one. And then ESPN, which makes me like, are they...
Off by itself. There's nothing suspicious about that at all.
Right. Like, we're putting this out to pasture so we can sell it off to somebody. Like, what is the end game there?
That's pretty much what it is. They're separating ESPN to eventually...
Like, dissolve it or something. Sell it, dissolve
it. No, they're
not going to...
Dissolve it's not an option because ESPN is still a... It's still...
Powerful name.
It's still a very viable means of... Yeah, it's needed, right. It's one of those things. It's still a viable means of entertainment to someone. It's just not...
It's
I
not
think it's time with Disney
currently.
has finished.
And I agree. I think somebody needs to take ESPN who can focus solely on it because Disney's right. too big to put enough effort into it
by like it was when it first started, right?
Right. Yeah. Hopefully they don't sell off ABC, because I think if they keep that, but
I saw a suggestion. Someone said, and again, this was on Twitter, someone who lately has seems to think that they know more than they actually do, says that Disney's behaving like a company that's potentially looking to sell. I mean, if it happens, it does, but I don't see that happening. I don't really see that as what these moves are. I think this particular individual is a little excitable about trying to be right all the time now. About stuff like making bold like jumps and then actually turning out right. Yeah. I think he got addicted to it.
If anyone were to buy them, I think the rumor's been for years Apple would probably be the only one that would do it. I don't know why they would need to, but does Apple really need to buy Disney? I mean,
no. It's just like when people floated the ideas of all the people who would potentially buy WWE that I've been seeing, right? Because when Vince came back and they say, oh, the only reason he's come back is to sell. And then, of course, the Saudis became a thing. And, Disney was always brought up as a potential buyer for this. I'm like, this makes no sense. It doesn't hold value to them.
Right. So, and they don't need to be acquiring anything right now.
At Universal, it might make sense. They already have somewhat of a connection.
Yeah, it would fit better there under their umbrella, I think.
Right, if somebody like that, if a theme park industry was going to do it, but...
Yeah, anyway, but clearly ESPN is being separated for a reason. I think they're kind of, you know...
I got to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if at some point down the line, depending on how this whole streaming thing works out as far as how Disney's strategy with streaming goes, it wouldn't surprise me if eventually, and I know that's... been with them for a while, if ABC wouldn't be a part of being cut from it too, maybe becoming its own entity again or something. I don't know how that would work. Somebody would have to buy it though. It would have to be someone who wants to grow NBC itself, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know that their connection with ABC, it doesn't seem to be as strong as it once was, as far as like the stuff they put out that is Disney related. Does that make sense? I think they're only... real strength right now is they have things like Hulu that it can be on. But that's every channel or most networks are on it. So what do we think long term that the odds are that Disney's going to bother keeping controlling interest in Hulu?
Maybe.
They might not feel that being necessary. Right now, I think the ESPN thing, though, it's part of their package. Like ESPN Plus, so if they separate it all together and sell it off, how much longer is it going to be part of the package, I guess?
Sure.
Or how long is the package going to be in play? And then they can make a change at any point in time they want.
Yeah.
So
they're clearly making moves there, though, for obviously something's going to happen with ESPN.
Yeah. Something I saw, and it was an article recently, and I don't have all the details in front of me or in my mind, obviously, but it had to do with streaming services in general.
Yeah.
How, you know, for a time period here, it's been all about getting subscriptions up.
Yeah.
Now it's going to start being about making them more profitable, and therefore they're going to raise the prices on these subscriptions.
Right.
I question if that's the best strategy anyway, with as many of them as there are, because what is going to happen is once the prices go up, people are going to be cutting out some of them.
Right, start unsubscribing.
Right, I mean, that's what they're going to do.
Because you can always unsubscribe and then resubscribe when your favorite show comes back or whatever, and then just cancel again. I mean, that's what people do. Like, I've seen a lot of people posting that, you know, they've canceled, and then when Mandalorian starts back in March, they're going to resubscribe and watch it,
right,
and then unsubscribe again. It's like, so people just do that with all the... There's too many streaming services now, too.
Yeah. Pretty soon it's going to all be come back around, and it's going to be cable again.
Right. I mean, what goes around comes around. Yeah. Eventually, that's going to be it.
It's just going to be a streaming version of cable.
Because they're going
there are some of those.
Yeah. They're going to have ad-supported things, because you can't get around that issue with just subscribers
alone. Not to make money.
Yeah. To make it profitable, you're going to have ads somehow.
Although
this is part of it.
YouTube somehow does a good job of doing both. You know, they have like the basic, like the one that most people watch has ads, right?
Yes, lots.
But then you have the...
This is why I pay for premium.
You have the group that gets tired of seeing ads, so they just pay because the amount's not that high. But if you get enough of those subscribers plus the other ads, it totally makes it profitable and worth it, truthfully. Right. So people should really consider their business model when it comes to subscriptions.
And so, honestly, I wouldn't care if you threw commercials in The Mandalorian. Like, if you could opt out of it, you know, and pay more,
right, that's fine.
I think another, I think another potential issue that Disney's going to be running into is having content on there that people actually want to watch. Because I got to be honest, I feel like even though they have tons of content, I don't feel like they have anything really on there that's just like grabbing an audience like Netflix does. Does that make sense? Like Netflix has their own shows that keep people coming back to Netflix for.
Right.
I don't think Disney really has that other than, you know, we just mentioned The Mandalorian, right?
That's about it.
What else do they have that people are that, like, I don't want to use the word addicted, but I guess that's kind of the way it is. If they're so addicted to, they're going to come back for it. I don't see anything right now.
Not a lot. I mean, there's probably some other shows that we don't watch that some people are interested in, but not a lot.
A lot of their new shows on there really have not panned out as far as gaining popularity.
Yeah, not as successful.
Yeah, they need to have something that's going to grab folks. So I don't know what that is they need to do, but they need more stuff that's going to grab folks on the streaming service. Just like you were talking about, people only coming for The Mandalorian.
And then they'll cancel when it's over and come back later, yeah. What are you going to do?
And they probably lost some subscribers because of, like, the ones that were basically getting it for free. I think some of those things are dropping off, right? Those free trials through things like Verizon and whoever.
Yep.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, have we talked long enough yet? Have we rambled long enough?
I think so.
I don't want to say rambled. We're exciting. No?
We like to talk. There was one other story I was going to mention. It's a very small story. The walkway between Grand Floridian and Magic Kingdom is going to close this, as you're hearing this, it's already closed February 13th. And it says it won't be open again until, quote, late spring. So,
okay. I wonder what they're doing.
It says because of continuing refurbishment to guest rooms at Grand Floridian and the buildings surrounding it, that the pathway is going to be temporarily closed. So I know they were working
danger zone.
I forgot the name of that building that's closest to the walkway. I think they were working on that one and starting to expand. I don't know. I kind of wondered, did it have something to do with the monorail over there? Because remember the track, like they were talking about how slow the monorails had to go. Like, are they going to be doing some kind of work on the monorail track? But
Maybe they could while this is going on. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's like, do you really have to close the walkway? Because the walkway between Grand Floridian and Polynesian is still open, even though you basically have to cross the road and walk around this construction area and all this craziness.
You have to walk through the construction.
Right. And
so, like, it's not safety.
You have to play like 9 holes of golf on your way to the Grand Floridian as you're going over there. That's still open, even though this tower is like being built right around it. So why does this one have to be closed? It's kind of suspicious. It's sus, Disney. It's sus.
Really what it is they didn't want you going over there and seeing what they're doing to the water show.
Oh, right, because they're doing some maintenance on it too, aren't they?
I don't know.
I thought I heard they were doing some maintenance
They didn't want you to see all the changes they were making.
Oh, Lord, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Are they removing that 50th anniversary float that they built or the lights that they built?
I was going to say, if that's the case, that shouldn't take very long.
Yeah, there was one. Well, it was several. It was spanned across several boats.
What day is the 50th supposed to be officially over?
March 31st.
Okay, so not long.
Yeah, because April 1st is when things, you know, not April 1st, but the first week of April is when Happily Ever After comes back. Harmonious ends and Tron opens. So, yeah.
Because, you know, Tron, you know, it was supposed to be a part of the 50th. So we're like, you know what? We're going to open it like right after the 50th is done now.
It was originally going to open August 2021, right before the 50th. But they clearly delayed this out to this year.
They did that because, with a lot of their attractions.
Right. Because they don't have anything else to promote for this year. Nothing.
Post shutdown, I should say.
They could have opened Tron if they wanted to anytime in 2022, but they had Guardians, they had, you know, Ratatouille right before that and all that. So they pushed it to this year because they got nothing else.
Yeah. How many months do you think Ratatouille was ready before it actually opened? I mean, it had to have been...
like a year.
I mean, it could have been close to a year. It had to have been several months that it was actually good to go before they decided to open it.
I mean, it was almost ready when COVID hit, wasn't it?
I think so.
It was almost done then, right? Or close.
Well, like I said, we commented that Runaway got to run for 2 weeks before it shut down. Something like that.
And it's still having issues, isn't it? Oh, speaking of, I know we're rambling again, but you know, we talked about how Runaway Railway is like a better version at Disneyland than the one in Florida. They've improved some little things. Improved.
The queue is definitely better.
Is it? It's at Hong Kong, right? The Frozen Land and Frozen Ever After is...
Oh, yes.
Part of it. Right. The new animatronics for... They're not these weird rear projection animatronics that the one at Epcot has. And the Elsa. They showed the Elsa. Oh my god!
The difference in the face.
Yeah, I'm like, that is a million times better. Why did they do those weird projection faces for the? It's cheaper, I imagine. But
I think it was probably technology at the time. Truthfully, I mean, think about when that opened versus when this one's open. It's like almost like what, 7 years difference.
They don't look great though, especially the ones at the end, the Elsa, Anna and Elsa at the end.
No, but what I'm saying is there's probably more technology than expenditure. Because like I said, that Frozen was one of the first ones they did that on.
And you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I think they kind of did that for the dwarves, but in the mine.
Right. Did Mine Train start before Frozen? I guess it did. Yeah,
2014.
That's right.
But they clearly decided to go with the full animatronic version, and it's so much better. So that version of Frozen Air After is going to be better.
Well, really. It's also a different group that funds it, right?
Probably. Although, I don't know how Hong Kong does their... Not exactly sure, but...
I mean, because it's pretty obvious that they spent megabucks in Shanghai.
Right.
On the stuff that they did there.
Clearly. And Tokyo is just, you know, they're always a next level, but...
Well, it's... Tokyo, the city itself, is like the... most efficient city in the entire world.
Probably. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep, I'd say.
Yeah.
That whole Frozen Land looks pretty cool too. I wonder. I mean, again, that makes me wonder, once this opens in Hong Kong, is this gonna, are they gonna build a Frozen Land at Animal Kingdom or something? Because if it's successful out there, you know.
Possible. You know, when I was talking about Dinosaur earlier, there's gonna probably be a retheme of it on the horizon just because of the issues they're having with it. And the age, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to involve some of the blue sky stuff that they talked about.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to theme it to Zootopia? Like, I think we've talked about that before.
That's why they're not going to refurb it.
Yeah.
They're just going to let it die out
I would say Dinosaur could stay if it could be any semblance of its original glory, maybe. But that's not going to happen. They're not going to bother spending money for that. They're going to spend money for new.
It's not original IP. It's not Disney IP. So that's why they're not going to do anything to it. They're going to convert it to, like you said, Zootopia or whatever.
I still wish that they, and I would love to see them come up with like a storyline that's not IP. Because that's used to be one of the things they were so great at.
You could totally make that a Zootopia ride though and have you just riding in the car like solving a mystery or chasing after stuff. Totally.
But I mean, I really want to see them come up with something in the vein of a Haunted Mansion or a Pirates, right? Something in that vein.
That's just not the era we're in.
I know, but still, wouldn't that be great if they did?
Sure.
I guarantee you it would be just as busy and awesome if they did it well.
Of course. But I think they look at it as it's too risky to open something that people aren't already familiar with.
Yeah, I don't think so at all, because I don't think that, I mean, the main reason people were attracted to Avatar wasn't the IP. I guarantee you it wasn't. Wasn't the reason I liked the ride. Had nothing to do with it. I fell asleep during the original movie.
Yeah. And, I'm not a fan of the movies, to be honest. And
see? Whatever. And you still like the ride, though, don't you?
Flight of Passage, it's great.
See? Great experience. I would I would go out on a limb and say the ride is and say that the ride is better than the movies.
Yeah, I would say that too, but
there you go. So if you enjoyed this, or even if you didn't, there's probably some other better episodes out there if you didn't. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcasts. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcasts. There's a YouTube channel in which I have recently uploaded a couple of Splash videos that are older that you might want to go and check out and enjoy. Splash in its heyday, so to speak. And then I have some more I'm probably going to add of Splash just because of the fact that it's closed. And, you know, I have a good bit of footage of it. So where else can you find us at?
On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. We also have an email address, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want assistance in your next Disney World Universal cruise line, you can visit our travel agent friend. Her information is also on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com.
So over at him, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. This has been Rambling with the Mouse.
Maybe we should rename. Actually, that's kind of what we do, Rambling with the Mouse. Rambling about the Mouse.
That's going to be the new name of the podcast.